is Dr. Viktor Frankl, professor of psychiatry and neurology at the University of Vienna. On top of that, president of the Austrian Medical Society for Psychotherapy. On top of that, he's the author of some of the widely read books in our time. Among them, From Death Camp to Existentialism, The Doctor and the Soul, and his newest book, Man's Search for Meaning. Dr. Frankl from Vienna is here to discuss with us tonight some of the crucial questions which haunt all of us regarding modern man, his troubles, his anxieties, and his hopes for the future. It's been said that there are three revolutions that have come out of Vienna. Adler with his will to power, Freud with his search for pleasure, and now Dr. Frankl, who speaks to modern man wherever he is about the will to meaning.
Once I was consulted by an old general practitioner of the outer parts of Vienna, and he told me, Dr. Frankl, I come to see you because of a severe depression from which I'm suffering throughout the last 2 years since my wife died. And I can't get rid of this depression. It's nonsense to approach you, doctor, because any prescription I could make myself. But nevertheless, I had the feeling I should speak to you, talk with you. And then there was a pause, and he asked me, what should I do? And I didn't give him any advice. I didn't tell him anything, but I just asked him a question. I asked this old doctor, tell me, doctor, what would have happened if you had died first and your wife would have had to survive?
Had to survive, right.
Thereupon he said, oh, how this would have been terrible, how she had suffered. Thereupon I retorted, well, this suffering, doctor, your wife has been spared this suffering, and it was you who could spare her this suffering. But now, as it were, you have to pay for it. You are billed for it by the fact that now you have to mourn, you have to suffer, you have to survive her. This man looked me up, and then he stood up, gave me his hand, and silently left my office. He found consolation in this reversal of attitude toward a fate which could no longer be changed. I could not revive his wife, you understand?
Right.
But I could change his attitude. Suddenly he saw a meaning, the meaning of a sacrifice. At the same moment, there was no depression any longer. He could overcome this depression. It remained still suffering, but it was suffering for the sake of somewhat.
So you're saying the events of life, apart from meaning, are useless.
Man cannot be healthy without meaning, without a meaning beckoning him. He could not even remain alive. You know who has said this? Albert Einstein.
Einstein. Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar.
No psychiatrist.
Right.
And now I think psychiatry should be reminded of this primary motivational force in man, that man is primarily and basically reaching out for meaning. And man must be prepared to endure the tension between the meaning which is in wait for him and the being, the actual being, the actual state of affairs. This gap between what he is and what he should become, what he ought to be, this gap must be endured. And so I would, you certainly mm-hmm. want to remind me that the homeostasis principle is prevalent, prevailing and dominating present-day psychology. That man is a being which just wants to satisfy his drive, to gratify his desire, to fulfill the need, to follow his drive. This, I believe, is not the actual truth. I think that man is no being in steady quest for maintaining or restoring his inner equilibrium and for this purpose satisfying needs and drives. Man is primarily a being reaching out for meaning. And this causes tensions, indispensable tensions. Not a tensionless state of inner equilibrium is what is needed.
Right. So let's come back a minute to your case of the older physician. Now, a lot of present-day psychotherapy would concentrate on reducing his pain and his anger. And you're saying you just reversed this and said the important thing is to realize why you now must
suffer.
That's
right. I did not
This is not say, here's the pill that makes you happy.
There exist also psychological tranquilizers. Psychotherapy hitherto has been a psychological tranquilizer. Instead of reducing his pain, I tried to make him able to endure his pain.
And that's one of the sharp differences in your approach to psychotherapy and much of what we see here in the United States.
I can't help.
No, I'm saying this is one of your basic points. That modern man ought to look for the meaning of his suffering.
Could I convey this idea to you?
Well, I think you're doing very well.
How important this is.
And is this one of the ideas that you were able to test out in your own concentration camp experience?
In a sense, it was. It was. Because besetting the question, the problem which was besetting myself was not as much whether or not I shall survive the camp, but whether or not all these pains, those pains people had to undergo, innocent people had to undergo there, whether all this dying around us has a meaning, an ultimate, a higher meaning or not. For if it had no meaning, I didn't see any meaning even to survive it. I wonder if you understand what
I mean. Oh, yes, I do. You're saying survival is not enough, nor even the basic question.
Survival for what?
This is not the basic question.
That's
to
right.
survive. Right. Along with this very basic thought about not having the tranquilizer, but making sense out of suffering and pain, what are some of the other basic ideas which have become a part of your own approach
to would say,
people?
Doctor, I would say that this teaching body of logotherapy is mainly based upon three pillars, three tenets, three basic assumptions. The first is the will to meaning as opposed to a mere will to pleasure, pleasure principle, according to psychoanalysis, or will to power, according to Adler.
Right.
Secondly,
can I interrupt that a minute before you take the second one? Now, doesn't one need a backlog of some interpretation to make an experience meaningful? For you to say to the old man, suffering is a precious responsibility of yours. You had something that made you give him this interpretation.
Certainly, but I could evidence that even the simple man, average man on the street, is primarily or ultimately, whatever term you would prefer, searching for meaning. Not in an intellectual way, of course, in a more implicit way.
In terms of his own personal involvement and experience.
By committing to a cause higher than himself. By dedicating to a person whom he loves. Spiritual aspects and aspirations of man are not primarily intellectual issues.
Right.
But primarily a matter of one's personal conscience. Of the innermost decision. A matter of love, of dedication, of commitment. This is human spirit, but not intellect or just rationalization.
So I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah. One was the will to meaning, as opposed to pleasure or power.
Is the meaning of life, which is conceived of within this teaching body of logotherapy in the following manner. Life never ceases to have a meaning, to hold a meaning to each and any person. And this is due to that fact, precisely to that fact I was touching upon before.
Right.
The fact that even suffering may have a meaning. Of course, no suffering which is take-shouldered in a masochistic way, let's say unnecessary suffering. But that suffering which is imposed upon ourselves by fate, which is unavoidable.
By the events of life.
That's right.
Which may not be related to the quality of one's person.
That is right.
Right.
And such necessary, unavoidable suffering, inescapable suffering, It depends. What matters and counts is how we shoulder this suffering, how we approach this, the attitude which we adopt in such a situation. And finally, the third tenet is, after the will to meaning, the meaning of suffering, then the freedom of will. You say this is a chain of links, of interconnected links.
Right. Now, an example of the freedom of will.
An example that my contention is, man is never conditioned by conditions, but he is always free. He is never free from conditions, but what he is free is to take a stand toward the conditions confronting him.
In other words, when your parents were in a crisis situation, you couldn't control the circumstance, but you could elect
I had the opportunity to kill Hitler, but I never had a chance to do what was demanded of mine. But let's apply a more trivial example.
Right.
I'm not responsible that my hair is gray. However, I'm responsible for the fact that I, for instance, did not go to the hairdresser having him tint my hair.
Then, do I understand you're saying in part that what's important is not only how you feel, which is where I think we so often concentrate, but what's also important is what values you hold that then determine the meaning of your feeling.
Certainly. This is a very important factor.
This is where I think we don't get with it.
Because let me quote a very fine sentence once uttered by Karl Jaspers, the great existential philosopher, who said, what man is, he ultimately has become through the cause which he has made his own. Was der Mensch ist, das wird durch die Sache, die zu seinen macht. We cannot find ourselves, our identity, except by devoting, committing ourselves to something or someone. We cannot struggle for self-actualization except through the detour of devoting ourselves to a cause, to the world, around the way the way guides us around the world, and not by direct intention of ourselves.
Right, that's a magnificent point. We're running out of time.